This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Cotton Cloud Futons, a locally owned business featuring futons and mattresses, frames, covers, furnishings, and accessories which can be made with organic and recycled materials. Cotton Cloud is located at 701 Northeast Broadway in Portland. Information at 503-335-0758 or cottoncloudfutons.com.
And now coming up, Democracy Now!
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Radio Cab Foundation, presenting its second annual benefit golf tournament, Saturday, July 8th, 9:30 a.m. at Heron Lakes Golf Course. Proceeds go to assist hospitalized children and disadvantaged families in the metro area. Registration and prize information at radiocabcares.org.
Pacifica, this is Democracy Now! Massacres in Iraq. Haditha and Hamandia will speak with the reporters breaking both stories. Then how the press rolled over for Bush. We'll talk to media critic Eric Bowler about his new book, Lapdogs. And finally, three-time Pulitzer Prize winner Thomas Friedman on petropolitics, war, and globalization. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. A European diplomat on a visit to Tehran says he's making progress in talks over Iran's nuclear activities. The diplomat, European Union Foreign Policy Chief Javier Solana, is in Iran with a package of economic and political incentives to persuade Iran to give up its domestic uranium enrichment program. He spoke Tuesday after meeting with lead Iranian nuclear negotiator Ali Larijani.
We had a very good meeting with Dr. Larijani, with the minister now. I think the atmosphere was very good. We are going to try to continue. The government and the leaders do have a proposal presented by a group of countries, European countries, the Russian Federation, the United States and Russia and China. And I hope very much that we will have soon an answer. And we would like very much to continue working and see if we can achieve a good agreement that will be beneficial for everybody.
The incentive package was drawn up last week by the five veto-wielding members of the UN Security Council, the United States, Britain, France, Russia, and China. In Texas, President Bush was asked about the offer to Iran.
And so we will see if the Iranians take our offer seriously. The choice is theirs to make. I have said the United States will come and sit down at the table with them so long as they are willing to suspend their enrichment in a verifiable way. So that sounds like a positive response to me. Steve.
In Iraq, almost 600 prisoners were released from jails across the country today. The Iraqi government says a total of 2,500 people will be released as a gesture of national reconciliation. An estimated 28,000 people remain imprisoned in Iraqi jails. Just over half are believed to be detained by U.S. troops. In Britain, a military court has found three British soldiers not guilty in the drowning death of a 15-year-old Iraqi teen. The soldiers were accused of forcing four Iraqis to swim across a canal by threatening to shoot them. The 15-year-old, Ahmed Jaber Karim, did not know how to swim. In a statement, the British Defense Ministry said the soldiers have the Army's full support to continue their military careers. Meanwhile, a U.S. Army officer has announced he's refusing his deployment to Iraq, slated for later this month. The officer, First Lieutenant Aaron Watada, says he first asked for permission to resign his post in January. He says he wrote, quote, "I'm wholeheartedly opposed to the continued war in Iraq, the deception used to wage this war, and the lawlessness that's pervaded every aspect of our civilian leadership." Lieutenant Watada is one of the first commissioned officers to refuse deployment. Simultaneous news conferences will be held by his supporters. today in his home state of Hawaii and in Washington State. Military officials told Watada he cannot attend the news conference because he's barred from speaking publicly about his case during duty hours. USA Today is reporting the Pentagon is resisting efforts by military doctors to track the number of concussions suffered by combat troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. The doctors say thousands of troops are risking permanent brain damage by returning to combat with undiagnosed concussions. An estimated 20% of troops in frontline infantry units have suffered from the concussions. According to USA Today, the Brain Injury Center wants the Pentagon to use a screening procedure to identify possibly dangerous concussions, but the Pentagon has declined. Angela Drake, a neuropsychologist with the Defense and Veterans Brain Injury Center, said, quote, "I think they're afraid. The sheer numbers are overwhelming. This is a worrisome thing. It's like opening a can of worms," she said. In Canada, 15 of the 17 terror suspects nabbed in a sting operation last week appeared in court for a bail hearing on Tuesday. The suspects are accused of plotting attacks inside Canada. The alleged plots included a raid on the Canadian Parliament and beheading government officials, including Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper. Prosecutors said the suspects planned the attacks to call for the defense of Muslim prisoners. A lawyer for one of the suspects denied the allegations his client planned to carry out the beheadings. The Toronto Star is reporting one of the suspects is a former Canadian soldier who received more than 4 years of military training. Lawyers for other suspects complained Tuesday they're being denied access to their clients. Canadian officials say more arrests are likely. Here in the United States, 8 states held primaries Tuesday in one of the day's most watched races. Republican Brian Bilbray narrowly won the seat vacated by jailed former Congressmember Randy Duke Cunningham in San Diego. California State Treasurer Phil Angelides won the Democratic primary to take on Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger in November. And in a race we covered on Tuesday on Democracy Now!, incumbent Congressmember Jane Harman beat out anti-war candidate Marcy Winograd in the Democratic primary in California's 36th district. Winograd defied expectations and captured nearly 38% of the vote. Europe's leading human rights watchdog has determined that 14 European countries have been involved in or complicit in secret CIA operations since the September 11th attacks. Dick Marty, chair of the Council of Europe's Committee on Legal Affairs and Human Rights, accused the Bush administration of adopting a legal approach which is, quote, utterly alien to the European tradition. Marty's investigation focused on the U.S. practice of extraordinary rendition, where CIA officials kidnap individuals and then transport them to other countries for interrogation. According to the report, Spain, Turkey, Germany, and Cyprus provided staging posts for rendition operations. Italy, Sweden, Bosnia, and Macedonia all allowed the rendition of residents from their soil. Britain, Ireland, Portugal, and Greece all provided airports used by the CIA, and Romania and Poland allowed the CIA to operate secret prisons on their soil. A top Justice Department official testified Tuesday before Congress that the federal government has the authority to prosecute and jail journalists who disclose classified information. Matthew Friedrich, who heads the criminal division of the Justice Department, reiterated a statement made recently by Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. Friedrich claimed that reporters are not exempt from the Espionage Act of 1917. Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Arlen Specter questioned the Justice Department's claim and said, quote, "It's highly doubtful in my mind that was ever the intent of Congress." Friedrich was called to testify on why the FBI was trying to review the papers of the late investigative journalist Jack Anderson, but Friedrich refused to comment on the case. At one point, Senator Patrick Leahy asked, quote, "Are there any questions you guys are allowed to answer other than your title and time of day?" The American Civil Liberties Union is calling on the Federal Communications Commission to hold off approving the merger of telecom giants AT&T and Bell South until the FCC investigates the company's role in the government's domestic spy programs. Last month, USA Today revealed that the AT&T Bell South, as well as Verizon, provided National Security Agency with the phone call records of tens of millions of Americans. In Louisiana, Democratic Governor Kathleen Blanco has announced she will sign a bill to ban nearly all abortions in the state, even in cases of rape or incest. The bill, however, would go into effect only if the United States Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, the 1973 decision establishing a constitutional right to abortion. Under the law, any person who performed or aided in an abortion could face up to 10 years in prison and a fine of up to $100,000. In Vermont, two peace activists were arrested Monday for disrupting a commencement address given by National Intelligence Director John Negroponte at St. Johnsbury Academy. Moments after Negroponte began his address, a protester stood up and yelled, "In the name of democracy, I object to this man speaking. He has blood on his hands from his work in Central America and Iraq. He shouldn't be at the podium. He should be in jail. He's a war criminal." As the protester was being escorted away, Negroponte said, quote, "Now it's my turn." But before he could continue, another protester stood up and accused Negroponte of overseeing torture, killings, and rape in Honduras when he was ambassador. In Brazil, more than 1,000 landless rural workers stormed the country's lower house of Congress and temporarily took over part of the building. The workers were demanding more funds and legislative reform to accelerate agrarian reform. Officials said 20 people were hurt as protesters fought with security forces and destroyed government property. On Capitol Hill, Republican Senator Arlen Specter has announced he will not subpoena phone company executives to talk about their roles in the National Security Agency's domestic spy program. Specter's chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. On Tuesday, he said he agreed to put off the subpoenas after the White House offered to cooperate with his legislation that would seek a federal review of the surveillance program. Specter said he couldn't make the executives talk because a company lawyer and Vice President Dick Cheney said they could not discuss classified information. Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy responded, quote, "Why don't we just recess for the rest of the year? Vice President Cheney will just tell the nation what laws we'll have," Leahy said. In other news from Capitol Hill, the Senate scheduled to vote today on an amendment to ban same-sex marriage. President Bush is lobbying Congress to support the measure. Analysts expect the amendment to fail to attract enough support to clear the Senate floor. And in a story we've been following here in New York, Manhattan District Attorney Robert Morgenthau has subpoenaed records of the Pinnacle Group, LLC. A huge Manhattan landlord, Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez has been investigating in the New York Daily News. His reports show the Pinnacle Group has driven out hundreds of tenants, systematically abused tenants in gentrifying neighborhoods and illegally driving up rents. And newly released CIA documents have provided fresh details of the U.S. government's lax and at times cooperative attitude toward Nazis after the Second World War. According to the New York Times, the CIA learned the pseudonym and whereabouts of the fugitive Holocaust administrator Adolf Eichmann in 1958, but took no action. Eichmann helped implement the policy of extermination that killed millions of people, mostly Jews. 2 years after the CIA found out he was in Argentina, Eichmann was kidnapped by Israeli agents. He was tried and executed in Jerusalem in 1962. The documents also reveal the CIA successfully lobbied Life magazine to delete a reference to former Nazi government official who went on to serve in the West German government. The reference appeared in Eichmann's memoirs, which Life magazine published in 1960. The CIA made the request on behalf of the German government, which did not want the official's role to become publicly known. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.